Life is so much more than a diagnosis. It's about sharing time with those you love, hanging with friends who lift you up, and experiencing all those moments that bring you joy. All hits, no skips. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you. So long live singing to the oldies, jamming out to something new, and everything in between.
Welcome to the Undressing Room Podcast, presented by Macy's. What's up, Lorielle?
Hi, I don't have my belt today. I'm a little upset about that, but otherwise, we're great.
Well, you're giving me Tinkbell, sis, so it's all the bells that I need today. And listen, the week has been ringing, so we don't need a bell because coming up in the show today, baby, it is going down. We have legend, living legend, one, the only, Master P, coming by. Yes, he has an upcoming episode of Uncensored hitting TV1 on Sunday. We're going to talk to him about that. Also, someone that needs to stop doing a little bit of talking is Kanye. He goes in on D.L. Hughley and shares some alleged text messages that he got from Pete Davidson. It's deep, Lo. It's real deep. And speaking of deep, Jussie Smollett sentencing was deep. He got sentenced to 150 days. That's 5 months for faking this racist hoax. So, and that's not even it.
Why would you say speaking of deep for Jussie Smollett? And for our final question to undress, this happened.
I had one guy tell me that his mom was dying. Come to find out, his mom is alive and well and never had an illness to begin with at all.
Yeah, it's going down. So make sure you listen how we undress this mess with the Undressing Room Podcast, brought to you by Macy's.
And speaking of Macy's, I am super duper excited. Okay, this is Women's History Month. And since 2020, Macy's has raised over $2.8 million in support of Girls Inc. Now, Girls Inc. is an organization that I was actually a part of. So shout out to Macy's. It has funded opportunities for over 50,000 girls. Macy's has remained committed to supporting the next generation of leaders by empowering women today. Women History Month is going down. So join Macy's in celebrating Women's History Month by shopping the brands owned by women that you love. So you can help fund mentorship programs, scholarship, and career readiness programs by donating online. It's real simple. All you have to do is just round up. So say if your bill was like 50-22, just round that 22 cent up to the next dollar. And to learn more about this initiative, you can slide on over to Macy's.com/honors because you know Macy's is always doing it big, big, big. Shout out Macy's.
Hey.
All right. So it looks like it's about to go down. L'Oreal, who is at the door?
We have a legend, a mogul, one of the biggest superstars that we done had so far on the Undressing Room Podcast. And I am talking about Master P. Now he has a new episode of Uncensored that will be out this Sunday at 10 p.m. I'm so excited. Eva, I know you're so excited. We've been talking about
this all week. Uncensored, they talk about everything. So this is not like the cute little zhuzh over interview. Uncensored gets in. So I am so excited for Master P.
And you know where to find Uncensored. That's on TV1. Make sure y'all tune into TV1 at 10 p.m. And we're going to welcome Master P.
Yes, how you guys doing? I'm glad to be here.
It's like natural initially you always want to say, Yeah. It never gets old. Maybe for you it might get old, but it to me that'll never get old.
Nah, it's good. Okay. And I just salute to all my fans out there. I appreciate you guys.
So what made you decide to open up for this Uncensored episode? We're so excited to see you on this and to open up because you are such an inspiration to so many people, especially in this industry. So what made you want to tell your story?
Just being able to have TV1 open their doors for me. And I want people to know that my life never was perfect. I've been through a lot of trials and tribulations, and God has just opened up so many doors for me and my family. And when you do right, blessings are come. And I want to show people that you could come from nothing. It's like being a lion. It's like what I have on, this Soldier Snack hoodie. You know, the lion is the king of the jungle. He's not the biggest animal in the jungle, but he know how to learn. He realized that whatever he see out there is food to him. And so it's the mindset. When you think a certain way, you have to know that we all are lions out there. And a sheep can't lead lions, but a lion can lead sheep. And I think that once you figure that out and you get that mindset, I want to show that, you know, kids that come from all types of walks of life to be like, you know what? You don't have to live a perfect life, but if you change, you grow up, you do better, that God will bless you. And I think that's what my story is about, and be able to share that is just a blessing.
Absolutely. So the theme of this episode for Uncensored is centered around the dynamics coming into manhood, basically, and highly publicized music, a personal breakup, tragic loss, family, friends. I mean, you're not shy to the media. We know some facts, some rumors, all of that stuff, and creating rebirths amidst, you know, the craziness of what this career could be in entertainment. So talk about just the staying power that you have had. I mean, we remember Lil Wayne with a fishnet, a white beater on back in the day. And now you have your hoodie on, you have your products, you are in the marketplace. Talk to us about the staying power of Master P.
Well, you know, it's all about sustainability. And like I said, when you do the right thing and you work hard, and you have confidence. It's like playing sports, creating a business, realizing that life is more than just talent and using your God-given talent. And I think when you do that and you're able to open up doors for other people. So it's not just about me being able to create brands outside of music industry and being able to spend time with your family and have your kids. Like my son's a great basketball player. To spend time. You can't get time back, but you can get money back, and to be able to be with Romeo and all my kids. And it's just a blessing to watch them grow and blossom and to, you know that I have a lifetime commitment as a father. So no matter what you go through, just like you say, whether you go through breakups or whatever, like you have to be able to be a great parent. And I've been able to do that and learn from my kids at the same time and to build generational wealth. Because with all the product that I have, I want to show you guys, Soldier Snacks, to be able to have a brand that my grandfather was the one that first gave me the money to start my record company. And to be able to, this brand is built on him, Claudia Miller. And it's all about giving back to those soldiers that lost their lives, to their families and kids. So building a brand that has integrity and being able to help our people and guide our people and grow and come from hip hop. I mean, hip hop has come a long way. And I want to show people how we can grow up, because right now we are dying young. And so giving our culture that blueprint to say, you know what, let's build economic empowerment, but we got to do the right thing. So we was able to take over the Super Bowl, and now I'm taking over the grocery stores and being able to build a business with my family. Because, you know, when you look at this product and stuff, I want to show you guys, we got to be able to read and educate. This is my new book. It's called Never Go Broke. People think that it's about money. Nah, knowledge and wisdom is the key to success. And so I think that's have been my strengths, to keep educating myself, keep learning, keep getting better. You're going to feel through this process. But the way you get up, life is a marathon. It's like we talk about Nipsey Hussle. Nipsey Hussle blew up once he passed. And people don't realize that this guy was so talented while he was alive. But our culture, we wait till something happened till then we get behind artists and stuff like that, which is sad. But, you know, we have to keep fighting. We have to keep going. We have to keep building. We have to keep growing. So that's what my life is about. And giving that blueprint to the next generation. I'm all about the kids. And I think that's the part that keeps me going. And I'm not finished. I'm just beginning.
You just begin. You've been doing it for a minute, but you have just beginning. Now, I want to talk about the way you came up, because a lot of times, you know, who we are today is very indicative of those that reared us and the shoulders we stand on top of. And I learned that you were raised with your grandparents.
Yes.
And 16 other people in the house. Was it 16 other kids? Was it like aunts and uncles? Talk to me about how you were brought up.
You know, I was brought up in a big family. I was raised by my grandparents, Big Dad and Big Mama. And my grandfather was he was a baker. He was a cook. He fought in the army, and he cooked for the soldiers. And He just he gave me that love and that passion, and that's where the whole No Limit come from, the whole Camouflage stuff come from. And now to be able to have Soulja Snacks and have the Loud Camouflage, I mean, it's all because of him, Claude Miller. And he raised us on integrity. That's the most important thing. We didn't have money, but we had integrity. We had to do the right thing. At least he raised us and taught us the right thing. And education was so important. And I think that's what kind of molded me, knowing that even though you don't have all the things you want in life, be thankful for just the small things, like having a roof over your head. Even though I lived in a project and we lived in poverty, but I had the mindset of like, oh, I'm in a mansion. One day I will get to that mansion. So don't think negativity. So I just love my grandfather and my grandmother for giving me those values, sending me to, you know, a Catholic school with their last money from their Social Security checks. And it just showed me a lot, because when you know who God is, there's, you know, that you're doing something for a bigger cause. And that's what I feel about my life, that even when people count me out, you know, when you put your trust and faith in that man up above, you won't lose.
You better talk about it. Yeah. Now, you came up in one of the toughest projects in New Orleans, but you had a hoop dream. You had a dream, a plan, and you had skills. Word on the curve is you got a scholarship to the University of Houston.
Yeah.
So talk to me about that being your outlet, about how basketball assisted you growing up.
Yeah, basketball was my life. I grew up playing basketball, playing in high school, going to college, and just making those sacrifices. I tell people all the time, basketball is just a sport. The more you put into it, the more you're going to get out. You can't cheat the game. It's a physical game. Mm. I just played basketball all the time. It kept me out of trouble. When things was going on in the hood, I was playing basketball. And back in the days, a lot of the OGs, they looked out for the people that had talent in the community. And I was just known as a basketball player. So I feel like basketball took me around the world. It was able to show me different things. And as a kid, once you're able to see other things besides the ghetto, then you start striving for other things. And I think that's what basketball done for me.
And it also has done things for your sons. And Hersey is one of them. You recently took him, or he came out of Tennessee State University. He had an injury. And I know that a big thing and a big part of you was that you wanted to put the light and shine a light on the HBCUs. You've always done a lot for our community, for the Black community. But you did say they lacked a medical team that was good enough to be able to help him through his injury. But you didn't blame them for that because it's the fact that, so what can we do? Because even with you, you know, you and your son helping out the HBCU by him going there and shining the light, you know, it's still things that need to be done. What do you think are the next steps to try to help out some of our schools?
We got to talk about it. We got to communicate it. We have to have a plan of action. I love HBCUs. I sent my son there, but it's a lot of lack of resources, and we don't like to talk about it because, you know, our family members went there, and this has been going on for hundreds of years. So this has been over 100 years that we don't have the best facilities and we don't have the right medical teams to help our kids. But even in the educational side, when you look at what's happening at Howard in the dormitories and stuff like that, this is happening all over the world, but we are afraid to talk about it because we love our schools, our HBCUs so much. My whole thing is this will bring attention to the government to put money back into these communities. Even losing a student like Hersey is going to shine that light to say, and Hersey loved HBCU. I mean, he the one who picked the goal.
It's hard not to.
Yeah, and you know what? The crazy thing about it is, me as a parent, I'm in a better situation to where I was able to make sure I do the right thing for my son. I'm going to do the right thing for my son as a parent. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of other parents can't do that, so they can't make those moves. But it's all about bettering ourselves. And we talk about this, too, even with Deion Sanders. Deion Sanders is at Jackson State, which this is incredible. He's bringing so much attention. But at the same time, they're not going to give him the budgets he needs to create that. Because think about it. He put that team in the playoffs, and he only got $1 million budget for his team. And these teams that haven't made as far as him, their football program got $40 million a year.
Exactly.
And you have to change that narrative. So we have to talk about it. We have to educate our culture and show and not be afraid to talk about this in love, that the problems that we are having. Even at Tennessee State, they owe Tennessee State $500 million. The government owed them that, and they still fighting for it. And what I had to look at, though, is, this situation is not going to be fixed in the next 4 years. So my son had got hurt. I said, you know what? I might as well. I got to take him out because they're not going to get this money in the next 4 to 5 years. They've been waiting on this money for 10 years. They're not going to be able to fix the school, fix everything that need to be done, the lack of resources that we have over there. And what I'm going to do is I'm still going to fight. I'm still going to get out there and visit HBCUs all across the U.S., but also sit down and have committees sit down and talk to younger people and say, what are the problems? Let's not put us down, but we have to figure out how to fix this because our ancestors couldn't figure this out because they was just happy to be in schools. Now, with the power of technology, you have African-American kids that know how to make apps, know how to make changes, know how to make money. We have to let them do this for our schools. And when you look at Elon Musk, he created PayPal in college. So we have talented youngsters that even the older people, we have to sit down and listen to them if we're going to change with this technology game to be able to put money back into our schools and our community. So we need to revamp our dormitories. I mean, the living arrangements need to be better. There's a lot of things that need, but it's so much great things. You got to imagine that the characters that we have built with, you know, dealing with these situations. I mean, us as African Americans, we work 10 times as hard under these conditions and strive. But think about it. We have more women graduate from African American schools than any other universities in the world. And we should be at the top of the Fortune 500 companies. Think about it. If that many Black women graduate from HBCU, and we only make up a tenth of 1% in the Fortune 500 company. That's embarrassing. Mm. Like, we have to change that narrative. So we're going to school, we graduate, but they're giving us entry-level jobs. We have to change that narrative. Like, we need to be CEOs of these companies. And that's why we are creating brands to be able to do that and communicate with each other. But as parents, we got to do what's right for our kids. And that's what I'm doing for my kids until we get it together.
And you changed your narrative because you came from one of the most violent projects. Yeah. Yes. And, you know, period. And you decided to start this music, this record label, even though you had this talent of basketball, you already just knew that you was going to be something in life. How did you even get that thought to say, you know, let me take these circumstances that I have and turn them into music, turn them into a record label and not just put myself on, but I'm going to put everybody else on and put them in position to be bosses as well.
Yeah. You know what? Not settle. But whatever life gives you. And we talked about that earlier about being a lion. I mean, a lion is not bigger than a giraffe. It's not bigger than an elephant. But the lion is the most feared animal in the jungle because of his mindset. So we have to change our mindset. When I start changing my mindset, saying that I just need to keep learning, I need to keep growing, I need to keep getting better. I think that's when I realized that I'm going to make it out of here. Like, I'm not going to let my condition stop me. You know, I live with my grandparents and my grandmother and grandfather had 12 kids. So I was the last one to eat, but I was the happiest one because I was just thankful for what I have. And I think that's the mindset we have to have instead of worrying about what somebody else have. I don't have this. Let's just be thankful for the little things. I was just thankful, like, I got a roof over my head. Now, if my parents can't change this, I need to get out there and go work hard and I'm going to change this. And I think instead of having a negative attitude and I'm going to go get into drugs, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do all this crazy stuff, I'm saying, you know what, let me figure out how I can put something positive in my life and get into the music industry and be able to tell my story and be able to help other people. So I just think that I was a man on a mission, and I knew that if I kept going, that one day I could make it. I know it wasn't going to happen overnight, and I wasn't expecting it to happen overnight. But I think so people say, P, how did you make it? I say, well, I wanted to be successful as more than I wanted to breathe.
And you was like one of the only people to buck at Suge Knight around that time that had you gain a lot of respect. Cause at that time people were scared of Suge. Yeah. And you came in and was like, okay, he He's a human being just like me.
Yeah, you know what? And growing up in a project, you know, it made me tough. It made me understand. But I never really, like, wanted to put another man down. So I never looked down on Suge. I looked at what he's done and said, you know, I looked at Rap-A-Lot Records. I looked at, you know, because I got a lot of game from Lil J. But when I looked at Suge, I just looked at him as another human being and said, you know, if we're going to do business, let's do business. I feel like it's enough for all of us, so we don't need to be talking down on each other. You look at Rodale Drive, they got so many clothing stores on that corner. They're all selling the same thing. So my thing is, to the black man, how can we do business? And that's what I was able to do. And I never talk down on him. I never will. I'm thankful for the opportunities that I was able to get and to be able to get Snoop and help Snoop take his career to the next level. And I just think that we are misunderstood. They always look at us to go against each other. But what about all these other record companies? What about the white guys that run these companies? I don't see they put them against each other, call it a beef or whatever. They always look at us just because we're two black men, or we come from certain parts of the community, and they turn it into something negative. But my thing was able to look at Suge and say, bro, I'm bigger than that. I just want to do business. Mm-hmm. You know, you keep it 100 with me, I'm going to keep it 100 with you. And I think that's just the way it should be. And I'm thankful for the doors this guy was able to open, and then me able to have integrity and say, I want to go to another level. It's not about money. Like, I don't work for money. I don't use people. Money is a tool for me. So a lot of people don't understand that once they get money, they get that power to where, you know, they want people to fear them. And I'm like, man, I don't fear nobody but God. And I respect every man that come in front of me that respect me. And I expect that same respect back. So, I mean, even this man going through what he's going through, you know, I pray for him. I hope that God touches his soul to be able to say, man, it's about doing right. Let's help these kids. Even if I'm not in a better situation, how can I help the next generation and let them see my story and my past and the things that I did right and the things that I did wrong? I don't want them to follow those paths. So that's why I'm pushing so forward at the next generation. They can look at all our lives and say, okay, if you do this, then you could last longer. You'll be able to live. And if you do this, this happened. You'll die younger and all this stuff. So I think showing these examples to these kids, and they have to have those choices to pick, because, you know, I didn't want to grow up in a project. That's just where my family was at. So now I have to make those changes. And we have to be able to get along. I feel like hip hop is dying young now. And it's because of a lot of the older guys that came before it, not giving the kids the right information. And that's what I'm trying to do, get them a blueprint on living. Let hip hop live, and let's show them how we could come together in peace and move on.
You are definitely laying out the blueprint, and you do it in not just how you speak, but you do it in what you do and your representation. You know, that was a very admirable time in the hip hop era. It was no violence, and it was really just grown men bossing up and showing how you can deal with your issues in a way that allows us all to succeed. And so I'm beyond excited to watch Uncensored. It airs this Sunday at 10. I am so excited, Master P. Thank you for stopping by and getting undressed with us.
Thank you, guys.
And we got to tell you congratulations, because you're a grandpa. Grandpa P.
Romeo got a beautiful daughter, and I'm proud of him. He did it right, and I'm proud of him and his family. So we'll definitely build a generational wealth, and we have another blessing to our family.
I'm definitely looking forward to it. I know I've seen a little bits and pieces of Master P, you know, with different documentaries and things of that nature, but I know this one is him telling his own story, and that's definitely going to be something special. Can't wait to check it out. 10 p.m. on TV1 Uncensored.
Okay, so I think I'm getting a little tired of hearing Kanye's name in the news.
Just Kanye's? What about Pete Davidson and Kim too? I'm tired of all three of them.
I am over the whole situation. This just in, this is the newest of the Kanye Kimye saga. Kanye continues to rant about Kim. And anyone he thinks will get between them. Now, this weekend, he continued to talk about his concern for North being on social media. Now, I don't know if you know, saw it, but there was like a selfie video thing that Kanye did, and he was just, he was going in. He was going absolutely in. He was doing quite a few things. Now, Kanye thinks that Kim is doing this on purpose. He's like, you know what, Kim, you play too much. You're trying to antagonize me. So on Sunday, he posted an alleged text message that he got from Pete Davidson saying, mm-hmm. yo, it's Skeet. I guess that's his
That's what he calls him. Skeet.
Okay. Can you please take a second and calm down? It's 8 a.m. and it don't have to be like this. Kim is literally the best mother I've ever met. What she does for those kids is amazing. And you're so effing lucky that she's your kid's mom. Besides, I'm not going to let you treat us this way anymore. And I'm not going to be quiet. Grow the F up. So this is what Pete said to Kanye. So then Kanye responded, was like, yo, you using profanity? That's where we are right now? Is that where we at right now? So Pete responds and said, where we at is in bed with your wife. Why did he do that? Lord have mercy. So L'Oreal, Pete then offered to meet up with Kanye. Then a back and forth went, you know, ensued. And over the weekend, D.O. Hughley and Kanye ended up getting into it. So D.O. Hughley has a radio show. And on his radio show, he commented on current events, i.e. Kanye, in his daily rants.
What ended up happening is I ended up reaching out to some people who knew the people who were supposed to be the people he was going to send.
So it's a lot of people.
So those people, call those people, we end up talking. I end up getting him on the phone, and I listened to him for like 15 minutes. He's, I'm telling my kids and this and that. And he said, you said I was a stalker. I said, because I believe that to be true. You are a stalker. I believe that. You do that, we go back. You mother, I said, I don't care what you say. I don't care your opinion of me. I stand on the fact that I think your behavior is dangerous. I think you're a stalker, and I think you're indulged too much. Then the only problem I have is you giving my address out and saying that I passed out on stage because I'm a drug addict. Everybody knows I'm a drunk, not a drug addict. It's crazy.
Get it right.
Get my advice is right. But that whole threat thing, I said, you know you wouldn't talk to me like this if we're here. And it ended up the dudes who I called to talk to work with the dudes he knows. So it ended up being, hey, man, we'll stay out of it. It's between y'all. I said, all right, that's fine. If you don't want nobody in your business, don't put nobody in your business. But I don't know who you think you're scaring. Not with them. I know what you did last summer, Boots. You crazy. I wouldn't get beat up by the Gordon's fisherman. Are you crazy? That's not going to happen.
L'Oreal, is there a point to where enough is enough? Like, does this man need to calm down, or is this par for course? Let him be.
See, you already know that I'm going to be on Team Kanye, so I don't even know why you're asking me any of this. Because I'm looking at it like this. If Kim was trying to help be a part of the solution, she would have never allowed for Pete to reach out to Kanye and be like, I'm in bed with your wife. That's adding to a problem. That's what I'm saying. That's adding to a problem. And you had to give him the number or whatever the case. And there's no way Pete had this conversation with Kanye without speaking to you first. So I do feel like Kim antagonizes him. One of the main reasons I feel like they're antagonizing Kanye is because they have a Hulu series coming out in 2 weeks to promote. And if you know anything about
I thought she's not doing. Yes. Okay, so they stopped doing the growing with the Kardashians or keeping up with the Kardashians, and now they just a whole new series or it's a special?
It's no more keeping up with the Kardashians. Now they have a series starting over fresh, and they have Travis Barker on there. Kanye will be on there. Everybody is going to be on there except for Caitlyn Jenner, because she was expressing how she was upset. She was a part of the show for 20 years. But whatever the case, every time Kim then got robbed right before a season came out with a full presidential staff of private security, but she got robbed before the Kardashians came out the last season. They done had all kind of breakdowns, and this is a pattern, and y'all fall for it every time. Cause me, I'm not falling. I can't stand the Kardashians. I think they're manipulative.
Okay.
Yeah. You like them. I think they're manipulative. I think they are.
I'm a Kanye fan.
I think they're using Kanye's most passionate thing to him, which is his kids. Like, we know that his mother was his, the, you know, the love of his life. Mother passed away. Only thing he cares more, not more, or as much as he did his mother, are them damn kids. So they using him as a pawn. Like, and that's just, I think how
this
I look
is
at
one
it
of those situations where it's so nasty. You know, Kanye was having mental issues and complications. It's not new news. And when they started dating and he changed her wardrobe, and we saw like this big shift and difference in her, but she decided that she loved him despite all of that and was going to stand by him. So as a wife, as a Black woman, as a sister, I mean, like a sister to another Black man, it just breaks my heart to see. The woman knew that the man had complications. And so you marry him, have all of these children with him, build this life with him, and then decide, oh, he's crazy. And then puts it out in social media and out there like, you know, he's crazy or he's unstable. He's been unstable. And you decided to take his hand in marriage and commit to be there with them. So if
but
it doesn't work out,
him. You're poking
right
at him.
If it doesn't work out, I'm not mad at the not working out. I'm sad, but not mad. What I am disgusted by is her taking any time, space, or energy to use social media to talk about this. If he is that crazy and he's just doing, let's let him do it. Yeah. It's really hard to argue by yourself, sis. So if you let him argue with no one, then we're good. But if you and Pete hitting him up, talking about you're in the bed with him and
this
you're
is
on
what
the
I'm saying.
Like, dude.
Because if you don't want that, if you wanted it to be all rainbows and lollipops, you wouldn't keep antagonizing him. And one thing is two things I've seen on the trailer for their Hulu Bowl. Either way, one thing was that she was crying because Kanye told her her career was over. So to me, this is her trying to get back at him like, oh, word, my career over. I'm going to move on. First of all, she moved on in his face. Let's be clear. Saturday Night Live, he was with her. They stayed in the same hotel suite and everything. He wrote her monologue for her and he sat there with her, walked in with her, and she kissed Pete Davidson in his face. So he left, right? So you've been planning on doing whatever you was going to do. The second thing I heard in the trailer, Kris Jenner said, and they made sure they added this in the trailer, never go against the family. Now, who are you talking to? Who are you talking to? Because Caitlyn Jenner, you made sure she was silenced altogether. She can't speak nothing on your behalf, right? But y'all can talk about her whenever y'all want to. Then when it comes to Kanye, it's only okay for him to talk to y'all about y'all on the Hulu show. Because if y'all don't rock with him like that, why is he on the show? Why is he on the show?
Right.
This is what I'm saying. Kris Jenner is a master manipulator. And remember all that stuff he said about Kris Jenner? You think she forgot? You think she forgot or she was just waiting?
She waited.
So I don't, you know, this family is a family. They've ruined so many different people and so many different things they've done. What would be the difference between Kanye West, the biggest person that they ever grasped their hands around? The biggest come up that family has ever had since Ray J. And what did they do to Ray J family? They stole from them. Let's move on.
Oh, Lord. Well, just in case people didn't know, you're listening to the Undressing Room podcast, and it's presented by Macy's. Do yourself a favor. Slide on over and check out our personal Macy's shopping page at macy's.com/theundressingroom. Let's get undressed some more, Lo. What's going on?
Okay. But the D.L. Hughley part was laughable. Like, you know,
that was kind of funny. What I love about D.L. Hughley is D.L. was like, don't get it twisted pimping. Don't twist it.
I didn't know he was gangsta. Anyway.
Oh, I did. He from LA. He from Carson.
You know who I didn't know was gangsta, though? The gay Tupac. Jussie Smollett. That's what he calls himself now. So he got sentenced. What? He said he was the gay Tupac. I'm just reiterating it.
What?
Okay.
Okay.
Well, he got sentenced to 150 days in jail so he could show his gangster there. He was convicted of making false reports to Chicago police. And so he was sentenced to 30 months probation, 150 days in jail. The judge said, you turned your life upside down. You destroyed your life as you know it. There is nothing I could do to you today that will come close to the damage you've done to your own life. You were throwing a national pity party for yourself. Now, while leaving the courtroom, Jesse said that he was not suicidal and would not kill himself while in custody, I guess just to be safe because, you know, things go on in jail, child. Now, he's been placed in a psychiatric ward, yes, they do, to be watched carefully. Now, Jesse continues to maintain his innocence. His family, Taraji P. Henson, they're all standing with him as well. Now, India Moore from Pose defended Jesse, and it came as a shock because most of her posts about the LGBTQ plus community, she basically pushes back. So Taraji P. Henson, she did a Free Jesse post, and she didn't necessarily say he was innocent, but she did say he shouldn't be in jail. That was a lot of people's narrative. It's not that they're necessarily saying he's innocent. Not, I haven't heard much people say he's innocent other than his family, but I have heard a lot of people say he should not be in jail. His brother recently posted on Jesse's Instagram page, reminding his fans that he's not suicidal. What's very concerning is that there was a note attached to his paperwork and put on the front of his jail cell saying he's at risk for self-harm, which he never, they said he never was. So they put that up there, which is reading sketchy. And did you hear about the 911 call?
No, what was that?
It was like a call or a 911 call. I'm not sure if it was a voicemail or whatever the case, but they had a recording of somebody saying what they were going to do to Jesse in jail.
What was it?
They were just, it was a weird, funny, scary voice, and it scared me, so I didn't really even hear the whole thing. Somebody else was playing
it. I feel like Jesse's not fair, good, cool in jail. I mean, think about it. It's 5 months. He has to do 150 days. They're not going to send him to a federal facility. He'll most likely stay in county. He's right there in Chicago where he's from. He'll get visitation. People know who he is. And, I mean, at the end of the day, I don't know if he, you know, it was guilty or not, but even if he is guilty, 5 months in jail is absolutely crazy considering we have only prosecuted one person from the Capitol riots on January.
That is what my problem is, girl.
It is absolutely mind-blowing, but it's not, because at the end of the day, no matter how white his grandmother is, Jesse Smollett is still a black man. So
that's right. That. Well, I do think what he did was disgusting if he really did lie. But like you, I don't feel like he belongs in jail for it. I feel like he should have to pay back whatever was spent on the time. I think he's paying for it enough with the embarrassment.
And he has like $100,000, over $100,000. Like, I mean, the crime does not fit the punishment. The punishment does not fit the crime. It doesn't.
Do you think he's going to do the whole 5 months, though? Because don't I know, like, in L.A., they do, like, half the time. You do half the time, and then they
No, I think he's going to do the whole 5 months. They're going to give him that full 150 days. And then he's
I know R. Kelly couldn't hold his own in that Chicago jail. Then wasn't they trying to have him in there first? And then they moved him to New York?
Yeah, he was like, let's go ahead and push the case up in New York. Push me over there.
I did whatever they said I did in New York. Chicago jail is rough. So, you know, I mean, I don't think he belongs or deserves to be in jail. So free Jesse Smollett.
So the final question to Undress this week, Lo, she is nice and juicy. And I just attributed a she to her and just made her a girl. I don't know why.
Okay.
Now, Kamora Lee Simmons, you know that she's married to a super, super mega rich Tim Lesser. And her husband admits to posing as his former wife for years in emails to convince Kamora that his previous marriage was over. So Tim pretended to be his then wife. Her name was Judy. He was acting
big
like he
booty
was Judy.
Judy. I know her. Big,
listen, you know it ain't that Brad come and tear this thing down. You better stop playing this. So he started sending emails to Kamora through her account, making Kamora think it was her trying to convince her and saying that she was free of this man and that Kamora should feel free by dating him. Kamora even invited her on a vacation, okay, with them and the kids. Now, Judy, a.k.a. Tim, because that's who was posing, declined the vacation, as you could imagine. But what do you think about finding out the person that you're with, they got you, but them confessing to, like, having planned the whole thing, lying, conniving, scheming, everything. Like, What do you think about him? Does it make you look at him differently?
Absolutely. I could never sleep next to that person. I would be and feel so betrayed that I wouldn't even know how to continue to look at his face anymore. And I think the worst part about this is I heard she found out when he was forced to testify on the stand. And mind you, he's ratting on somebody, so he won't go to jail. So the only way she would have even found this out is when he was on the stand.
But you know what the Lord says, everything done in the dark shall come to the light. You know what? Right. For me, this is scary because, you know, my mama used to always say, you catch a lie, you find a thief. I feel like if you can lie over something small, that you can lie over something really, really big. If you could connive and lie to me and then not say anything for all of this time, my mind cannot help but wonder, what else are you lying about? Have you lied about, or will you lie about, considering that your ability to lie is up there with, you know, Olympic gold medalists? Like, that is crazy.
Yeah, no, I couldn't imagine. And then to make matters worse, like in that case, he was still married to the other lady. So yes. Now you're married to the both of us. There's nothing that I could do to move forward from that. We would have to get a divorce if our marriage is even legal. Like, it's probably not even valid. But like, what's the craziest lie a man has ever told you?
The craziest lie? Mm-hmm. It's always medical. I've gotten two. I got one where this guy was saying that his mom was dying. And that he just kind of needed, you know, I'm one of those girls that I always have like a certain amount of time rule before we can get intimate. I'm real throw up the guard. That's how I am. When it's up, when it's down, and right. I had one guy tell me that his mom was dying and basically just wanted a friend and wanted to be consoled. Come to find out his mom is alive and well, and never had an illness to begin with at all, was just trying to come through. And I don't know if he thought I was going to be weak on some like sympathy type of stuff, but death and sex don't go together.
No,
and I don't like you
don't.
More because someone's dying. Like, it's, you,
what
what's
was the other
one
medical
heard?
One? No, you said too. You can't just leave.
Oh, the other one was that they had cancer.
What?
So I had, yes. And it's so crazy because there's a lady on Housewives and she was like dating a guy who lied about cancer. And I didn't even realize that I had a parallel because I had a guy who lied about having a medical issue and would fly from LA back to Miami all the time to go and to deal with his cancer and go get his, and I didn't understand why you wouldn't do it at home. It sounds like it takes so much out of you physically.
Right.
But made up all these excuses, lying. Come to find out, he had a whole nother piece in Miami, child. Was no cancer. She might have been a cancer. She was born in June. That was the only cancer that Negro.
He said, "I have a cancer girlfriend." I never said I physically had cancer,
girl. And you start looking up stuff. So okay, so tell me about you because I know they done hit you with. I done read the DMs, girl. I know they hit you with
all kind of crazy lies. I'm trying to think. One time, I mean, I had a guy lie to me about his name before, and like,
what do you mean?
Like, he told me
his name was Robert, but he said Thomas.
Yeah, he told me his name was something completely different than what his name was. And the only reason how I found out, I was in the car with him. And you know how the phone be like so-and-so's iPhone? Stupid. So I'm like, well, who the hell is this guy? I was like, isn't your name this? I'm like, well, who's that? And then he was like, he was just so stuck. He didn't have nothing else to say. I promise you, I never trusted him. Like, we were still cool, but I never trusted him from that day forward. Yeah, anything. Shoot, I had my ex-boyfriend lie. He was sleeping with his baby mom pretty much the whole time we were together, and I had no idea. Not one clue. No idea.
Yeah, see, once it's done, it's done. Like, you can't unring a bell.
No, you can't.
So, like, once you've lost the trust, well,
that
was our final question, y'all. Now, it's super easy. That was a featured final question. If you would like to be featured and ask us your final question, just do us a favor. Go ahead and follow us on Instagram at The Undressing Room Podcast and DM us. Who they listening to, Lo?
You're listening to The Undressing Room Podcast presented by Macy's. Log on to theundressingroompod.com for episodes and links to our personal Macy's shopping page. Because we got all the fly stuff on there. I got my outfit
we
naked.
Do.
wardrobe. It's a comfy little sweatsuit, cool and easy.
She's cute.
What you got on, Free People?
Well, no, I'm wearing Ralph Lauren today. I wanted we went ahead and changed our clocks back. Spring is here. And even though this weather wants to be fickle, I am ushering in the spring. So I wore Ralph Lauren, little button down, little denim, little situation. You can get it at Macy's. And I got it on sale, y'all.
Okay, now. You got to put me on to the sales.
It's the Star Money bonus days. I'm going to look, when we get off, I'm going to tell you, you got to get into the Star Money bonus days because you can save even more money. So you have your spring specials going on and then the Star Money days. And then you get your little coupons. You put it all together and baby, that's a delivery you be looking forward to.
Listen, I'm ready because I'm ready for the spring.
Bye for now, y'all.
Bye.
The Undressing Room podcast presented by Macy's is an Urban One Reach Media production hosted by the one, the only Eva Marcille and L'Oreal.
Executive produced by Kobe Kolb Tyner. Associated producer Alexis Felder. Editing and production by Dunkus. Sales and corporate partnership, Josh Romani, Michelle Marino, and Kadisha Campbell. Research, Lori Hall Flowers. Digital marketing, Sam Stiers, J.R. Davis, and Tim Hall. Digital creative, Alvin Francis.
Content provided by MadamNoir.com, Bossom.com, and HipHopWire.com. Stay connected at TheUndressingRoomPod.com. See you at the next episode.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.